You are listening to Issues and Ideas here on KCBX Central Coast Public Radio. I'm Randall White. You know, the process for giving cardiopulmonary resuscitation, or CPR, has changed quite a bit. And there is a new push on the Central Coast to get people acquainted with the most recent version of this life-saving technique. Joining us in studio today to discuss how this new version works and why you should consider getting trained on the procedure is Kathy Collins, the Specialty Care Systems Coordinator for the San Luis Obispo EMS Agency, and Steve Lieberman. He's the Fire Chief and Executive Officer for Five Cities Fire Authority. Welcome both of you to KCBX.
Thanks for having us.
Yes, thank you for inviting us today.
So do I understand this correctly, Kathy? The new version is called Hands Only.
The citizen portion of CPR is the Hands Only CPR version, where you no longer have to give the breaths. It's push fast and push hard on the chest and activate the 911 system immediately.
And what was the reasoning for removing the whole breathing portion? Was it because people just weren't doing it right, or it's not as critical?
Two reasons, really. One, it's not as critical. When you have a cardiac arrest, you actually have enough circulating oxygen in your body that the ventilation portion is not as necessary. The other thing is there was a reluctance of people to want to do mouth-to-mouth resuscitation on, particularly on people that they were not familiar with in that capacity.
I can understand that. Now, Steve, this is the public portion, Kathy said. So I imagine all of your men and women don't use this version. They're using something that does include the mouth-to-mouth.
So our folks are still healthcare trained on traditional CPR, but I think what we really wanted to share with you today and share with your listeners is this new CPR system, so a cardiac system in our county that consists of what Kathy just described, the hands-only CPR, early activation of the 911 system, and then what happens when first responders get there because it's different, and then transport to the hospital, which is a specialty care center, and the outcomes that we're already seeing. Better survivability of people that are experiencing cardiac arrest. So
there's statistics backing it up.
Yes.
How long has this been in place here locally, Kathy?
We started the rollout of the healthcare provider, the paramedics and firefighters, in August of implementing the new system program. That statistics I've been monitoring since September. We have seen over a 50% increase in the patients having a pulse back from the same time period of last year or the year before.
So let's talk about there's two steps, right, for the hands only?
Correct.
And so who's best to discuss those two steps? Kathy?
I can start with
that.
Okay,
yeah.
Sure.
So what are let's talk about those.
The two steps are call 911 immediately and start compressions on the chest, and we say press it hard and press it fast. A lot of times people remember the music to Staying Alive. And so if you can
which
remember,
is a good song to think about, I guess, right? About. That's what you're working on.
That has a nice rhythm. We want to compress the chest at about 110 times in every minute. And you want to do it continuously without stopping. That has shown that we keep the blood and the oxygen circulating. And so if we can get that done early and get it done continuously, then when our field personnel get there, they have the best opportunity to change the survivability of that patient.
How critical is hand placement and positioning over the person?
There's an actually fairly large area. It's center of the chest, center of the sternum, the breastbone. Any place, as long as you stay centered and a little bit low, and you're on the bone, you're in the perfect location.
When you're making those chest compressions, does it not also, push on the lungs and in a way sort of force breaths as well?
That's a very good analogy, yes. The pressure on the chest causes, like you say, a pressure or negative pressure. And with the pressure coming in and out, you actually get a small volume of air being sucked in and out with the compressions.
And that's one of the reasonings, I imagine, why they said, okay, not so critical necessarily for the mouth to mouth.
Correct.
Okay, so then 911 is first, and then response time and the EMS units are showing up, and what's different about that now, Steve?
So if you imagine watching a NASCAR race on television, you've got the pit crew. So, Randall, you're my left tire guy, and then Kathy's my right front tire guy, and everyone's got a job when that car comes into the pit to do it quickly, efficiently, and get the car back on the track. What we've been taught with Kathy and the EMS agency is basically pit crew CPR. So everyone, when they come into a scene, and bystander CPR is in process, we hope, we all know what our job is. So the captain on the engine company is kind of at the head and directing the firefighter and the engineer, if there's three people on that fire engine, onto who's doing compressions, when they're going to time a quick little puff of air, and just really watching the patient and monitoring to make sure that that hard and fast CPR is happening, because clinically that is the success, the line to success. When the paramedics show up, they join the pit crew concept as well. What I think Kathy can talk to, because she's more clinically suited for this, is where we used to use paramedics and be using drugs much earlier in the CPR call, we're using them much later because science has shown that those compressions are really the ticket to survivability.
Kathy, talk a little bit about that. So that actually comes as a little bit of a surprise to me.
It does. And that's been a message that we've been having to teach even out to our paramedic personnel, that the first 10 minutes of the cardiac arrest is the most important part. And the focus on that is the BLS, or the basic life support portion of that. And that is getting early compressions, really high quality compressions. So we spend a lot of time on the training. We were able to get these very fancy mannequins that are computer generated visuals so that they can see the quality and the rate and the depth and so forth that they're doing their compressions on. So they have a good visual and they're learning so they can take that back out and understand that that first 10 minutes gets the patient ready for early defibrillation. And the electrical shock is what is most beneficial to these patients. It's not the medications. It's not the fancy airways. It's not all the other tools that we bring with us in that first 10 minutes. The survivability is most influenced by good basic life support, cardiac compressions, and early defibrillation.
I had heard that a chewed up aspirin is the most efficient way to keep someone alive when a heart attack hits.
The aspirin part would be afterwards. You wouldn't want to put something like that in somebody's mouth that wasn't breathing or had the ability to swallow.
Choke.
So we wouldn't do that then. We do use aspirin when you have signs of a heart attack. And that would be before you had a cardiac arrest. So that's something that we do promote in the world of EMS, is having aspirin on early when you have a heart attack.
So the chest pain stage.
The chest pain stage is when somebody should chew up an aspirin, and the thought of that does not seem very appealing, but it's better than the consequences, right?
Yes.
So why is it important right now for the public to get involved? Why are you pushing for people to hear about this?
Well, what we know is there's about 360,000 to 400,000 cardiac arrests a year.
This is in
the nation.
In the nation, okay.
In the nation. And that probably less than a third of the population start public CPR, citizens bystander CPR. And with that first 10 minutes being so crucial of getting the blood circulating and the oxygen circulating, that we need to start in our chain of survival really starts with the bystander and the citizen, starting the activation of the 911 system, starting the hands-only CPR, so that when the EMS personnel get there, that we have the opportunity to really be able to work on patients that have best survivability.
You know, and just to tag on to that, Kathy was talking about the nearly 400,000 cardiac arrests every year. Almost 90% of those happen at home. That's really why we want people to learn hands-only CPR.
Thank you. Yeah, that's a good, very good point. Yeah, 90% of them happen outside of the hospital.
Odds are you won't be in a public space where somebody else might know it.
No.
You know, you need to know it for your family members,
correct.
Right?
Correct. And if you talk to people that have done CPR, it'll be most often somebody they know.
What if you already know CPR, you know, where you were trained with the mouth-to-mouth and the number of compressions and all that sort of thing? Do you need to get retrained to do this hands-only, or will what you already learn work sufficiently?
It works sufficiently, but like I said, there's the reluctance to do the compressions and the mouth-to-mouth.
But if you're cool with doing that, you're not doing anything wrong.
No. You're certainly not doing anything wrong, though we have seen better outcomes and survivability with hands-only CPR than we have traditional. So we really, and the American Heart Association is promoting that bystander CPR be done with the compressions only. And it's a very simple, like I said, two-step. You call 911, you start pushing hard and fast. We do have classes or opportunities available for you. We provide Thursday night markets downtown San Luis Obispo.
Oh, that's easy.
Every once a month. It takes less than 10 minutes for you to learn this, which is another advantage to the program.
Okay, that's key right there, because when I got trained several times on CPR, I had to continually get retrained. It was like I had to sign up. It was like this day-long thing. My Saturday was gone. That's not the case anymore.
No. With this program, which is why I think there's a real advantage to it, it's 5 or 10 minutes of your time. We have, like I say, programs that are at the farmer's market. We do programs in front of Costco or in front of the department stores. We can do service clubs. We come out and do service clubs, Rotary, and those kind of programs as well. So we have the availability that if we have people, a group interested, they can contact our office, and we'd be more than happy to get something organized for them. We have a core group. There are actually three volunteers in the county that came to really wanting to have this program move forward. So they have really spearheaded this program. Last year, we were trained about 2,500 San Luis Obispo citizens. Our goal this year is to double that number. So it's what is going to make a difference in the outcome of the health of the people in San Luis Obispo.
Chief Lieberman, have you had an opportunity yet to see this in action?
Yeah, I have. And actually, I wanted to tag on to something Kathy said, but let me tell you about the success stories. I mean, I was I started out as a volunteer firefighter a long time ago and a CPR instructor. And we used to train people, and they would say, is it 30 compressions and 2 breaths? Is it fit? You know, they get hung up on the numbers. So I would challenge you to go listen to the Bee Gees and realize, get that beat, and that's all you need to know with bystander CPR. Now, to actually answer your question you asked me, is we've had instances where I am so excited because I've lived in the South County since I moved here in 1990, where we've had cases where witnessed cardiac arrest, someone starts CPR in the home, the engine company gets there with the ambulance, they do the pit crew CPR, they reestablish pulses, they get the person in the ambulance to go to French Hospital Medical Center where our cardiac center is. The person starts talking in the ambulance. That didn't happen when I was doing this. So the science and the research and kind of the semi-full circle approach to changing and not worrying about compressions, it's working. So I'm thrilled with this system. And actually, I personally know someone that survived when my company got there. The gentleman was in cardiac arrest and was talking on the way to the hospital. So I'm excited.
It really does save lives in your experience, and not only save lives, but there's also, I imagine, diminished consequences.
So the successful outcomes that we're looking for is somebody to be able to leave the hospital and live a normal life.
Right.
And that's the number that we're seeing a dramatic increase in. In programs around the country, they're seeing 50 to 60% of the patients with a witnessed cardiac arrest walk out of the hospital fully functioning. And that's way better than the national average. When we look at the national average of all cardiac arrests, only about 10 to 12% of those patients survive. So you look at a 90% people do not walk out of the hospital, and we want to see that number improve here.
I'm sure you want people to jump on this right away, but how long will the county be offering these like Thursday night market demonstrations and that sort of thing?
Thursday night markets are being offered at least once a month. It will be ongoing. This is not something that we do this year and we forget about it next year. This is an ongoing campaign. This is a change of life and a change in the system. As it's an overall program.
You know, additionally, I'd encourage people to call their local fire department and ask if they have a group of friends, if it's a scouting troop, what have you. Ask their fire department if they can be trained in bystander CPR. I know we gladly encourage people to come to the fire station and learn it from our crews.
Are you familiar with Santa Barbara County and whether it's being pushed there or Monterey County?
Absolutely. We actually modeled our program after Santa Barbara. Santa Barbara is about 3 years ahead of us in implementing the program, so we modeled much of the program from the bystander CPR all the way through to our paramedic and firefighter training from them. And they are one of the leaders in the nation right now with their outcomes of their patients with witnessed cardiac arrest.
Terrific. Well, certainly, if you're listening right now and are curious at all about this, head to our website, kcbx.org, go to Issues and Ideas, and look for this segment. We'll have all the links and information you need right there to get properly trained. Kathy Collins, the Specialty Care Systems Coordinator for the San Luis Obispo EMS Agency, and Steve Lieberman, Fire Chief and Executive Officer for the Five Cities Fire Authority. Thank you both for being here and for working to save lives.
Thank you for inviting us.
Thanks so much.
And you are listening to Issues and Ideas here on KCBX Central Coast Public Radio. I'm Randall White.